Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout, a podcast that hopefully you gave 5 stars already. 5 stars. 5 stars. Wherever you get your podcasts, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, always archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org and produced at the best jazz public radio station on the planet, WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Nobody likes being typecast, and the UK-based percussionist Sarati Korowar is no exception. But because he grew up in India and has a predilection for jazz, he often finds himself lumped into one group or another. To combat that narrative, he released an album in 2019 entitled More Arriving and brought this repertoire last January at Winter Jazz Fest, where we hosted the band at the Bowers and Wilkins Sound Lounge at the Moxie Hotel in the East Village, a pop-up studio where the band performs a fiery set that you'll be hearing today. With the music from More Arriving, Korowar creates a sound uniquely his own, something he describes as modern brown music, basically an enticing mix of hip-hop, jazz, and Indian music all across the spectrum. And while doing so, he also tackles many of the pertinent issues confronting us today: xenophobia, immigration, and the rise of fascism around the world. Also, the subgenre that we all have come to celebrate today via Alice Coltrane, spiritual jazz, and how he isn't really comfortable with that term. All of that coming your way in this magnificent pop-up studio session of the Checkout Live at Winter Jazz Fest 2020. But before we bring you this performance and interview with Sarati Korowar, we have an announcement. Our season concludes of the Checkout Live at Berkeley, its 9th season, this Wednesday, March 11th. The Grammy-nominated alto saxophonist Miguel Zenon will be bringing his Berkeley Quintet to Cafe 939, The Red Room, for a special live webcast kicking off at 8 p.m. sharp. And those tuning in for that webcast can actually see the band live, bringing this specific band, the Miguel Zenon Berkeley Quintet, to Birdland on March 8th. That's Sunday. So for our Check This Out part of the show, I thought we would bring you the latest and perhaps greatest from Miguel Zenon, his Grammy-nominated recording, in fact, in the Best Latin Jazz Album category, entitled Sonero. So let's give you a little taste of it right here with this composition called Hola, from Miguel Zenon's Sonero, the music of Ismael Rivera. We just heard Hola, music by Ismael Rivera, on Miguel Zenon's latest quartet release entitled Sonero. Zenon says Rivera exemplified the highest level of artistry from his home country. He was kind of like Bird, Mozart, Einstein, Ali. He was that guy. Speaking of Ismael Rivera from Puerto Rico, also the native country where Miguel Zenon hails from. And definitely mark your calendars, because this Wednesday, March 11th, we are going live at the Red Room Cafe 939 in Boston, bringing you the Miguel Zenon Berklee Quintet, which will actually be celebrating Zenon's best compositions over the years of recording, and he has so many of them. You can watch that performance on our Facebook Live page, on the checkout from WBGO's Facebook page, also on WBGO, and by going to our website, checkoutjazz.org. In just a moment, we bring you our pop-up studio session with the percussionist. He also plays tabla, but he decided to leave those at home and settle on the kit, and he does a fantastic job. His name is Sarati Korwar, and he has an album that he's celebrating called More Arriving. And we're going to learn about him next. What's up, everybody? I'm Simon Rettner from the Checkout from WBGO. Can we get some South Indian agnostic jazz music in the house?
I think that's us, yeah.
Agnostic jazz, yeah. Well, as soon you'll learn, that's a gross oversimplification of the sound that the drummer Sarati Korwar will be presenting today with his band at the Bowers and Wilkins Sound Lounge at New York City's Winter Jazz Festival. Here arriving, aplenty, and with an explanation point, please welcome the drummer, the composer, and his four-piece band.
Needs a symbol to represent the exotic, something like a mango. Mango into bar, and bar mango, wide along mango. Snapple, which races do you want on your banknote? They give you the default sitar solo, aka Indian banjo. Election time, gotta hang low. This guy's telling me to go back home. Type NW2, what does your sat-nav show? Are you indigenous though? Are you indigenous though? If not, you better be vigilant, bro. Or what? I think that I'm invisible, no. I think that I'm a mythical creature. Like working class black, working class brown, we don't seem to have any worth in your towns. I know in the old days everything was okay. I saw it in a documentary called Mary Poppins. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Mr. Englishman, which part of England do you grow them leaves that make your famous English breakfast tea? English like a cheeky Nando's. English like cutting through your country as if it were a mango. When it comes to hear us, people in power go seem to cut their ear off. Like Van Gogh or Van Gogh. Power corrupts. You already killed Duncan, you might as well kill Banquo. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Are you gonna bang, are you gonna bang though? No. Islamism is the new communism. Time to reboot Rambo. Skies are grey. Today they won't have drones. Today they still have homes. Nah, I need to have a word with the Espirito Santo. The meaning of life gotta be more than a series of portmanteaus. Jabberwocky, never straight, negro y blanco. I hold a baby in my arms. She don't weigh much more than a box of mangoes. She smiles. I have love. I have hope. I have life. And I will fight for days and nights that taste sweeter than.
All right. Sarate Korowar and his band in studio presenting the other side of jazz right here at the Winter Jazz Festival. You know, that's the motto that we have here on this program, focusing on jazz in its most plural forms. Sarate, you felt like the other, I take it, from time to time.
Yeah, I think the othering is something that I've gotten sort of good at telling when it's happening. I feel like I'm more aware of when I get called the other. And sometimes it happens and I still don't notice it, but I'm getting better at it.
For those that don't know, Sarate was pretty much raised in India, but then came to musical plurality, shall we say, in the UK. But you were actually born in the States, which is kind of funny. You lived here for 3 years. So this is, in a strange way, a strange homecoming for you.
I guess so. I mean, it doesn't really, like you say, it doesn't really feel like a homecoming because I didn't really spend any crucial time here in the States. But I was born here. I was born in Maryland, and I was here until I was 2.5, 3. And my parents basically moved back to India, which, you know, confused a lot of people at the time. Once you've lived the immigrant dream, you've made that step and gone abroad, why would you decide to move back? And I think that was a really bold move by them in the 90s. And I mean, I'm really pleased they made that move because I grew up in India and I, you know, I had a great time growing up there.
The composition we just heard was called Mango and featured your vocalist, Zia Ahmed, which addresses this sort of notion of the otherness, which really came into play when you were in the UK. That wasn't happening in India.
No, like in India, I lived a very privileged existence, right? I'm like upper middle class, Hindu, upper caste. Really, only when I came to the UK, did all that privilege just kind of wash away instantly. And it took a while to like understand the kind of dynamics of where my place in this new society was. Like, you realize the kind of layers of discrimination and layers of like privilege that you don't have access to over time, you know. And it took me a long time, and I'm still kind of learning really how that, how my privilege or lack of it kind of plays into the conversation of me being a musician and me just being a human being in London.
So take us to a specific lyric of the song Mango and unpack it for us. And what are you trying to say in it?
I mean, the lyrics are really Zia Ahmed, so he would probably be the best person to talk to about all this.
Okay.
But some of my favorite lyrics in the song are
Mango in Tapa and Pa Mango. Why the long mango?
All the wordplay for me is really fun. And I think what gets lost a lot of times when we're having these conversations about race and minorities is like the humor and the idea that it can be self-deprecating. It can be like, you know, you can be having a laugh and, you know, it's an empowering feeling to be able to like be sarcastic about it. And like, you know, the English can cut through your country as if it were a mango. That's another good lyric that I like. Supercalifragilisticexpialimango. There's loads. I can go on. I mean, it's a great song, and it's, you know, Zia, I heard him perform this song on YouTube, and I kind of hit him up and said, I'd love to kind of put this to music. And that's how it came about. That's how we met, and that's how he's been involved in this project.
So what's the next song you're going to share with us?
The next song we're going to do is a song called Mumbai, which is a combination of Bombay and Mumbai, the same city, which is known by two different names. For me, the song is about this idea of the city. Bombay being the old colonial word for the British colonial word for the city, and Mumbai being the more, well, quote-unquote Indian name for the city, which is also driven by a very kind of right-wing nationalist agenda. So it's about being caught between like a colonial past and a evangelist right-wing future, and not really subscribing to either of those views. And that's what the song's about.
From the Bowers and Wilkins Sound Lounge at New York City Winter Jazz Fest, a special edition of the Checkout from WBGO.
देखा गली तो सीखा तरीका देखा गली तो सीखा तरीका देखा गली तो सीखा तरीका देखा गली तो सीखा तरीका
All right, give it up. Sarathi Korwar here at Winter Jazz Fest on the checkout from WBGO here at the Bowers and Wilkins Sound Lounge. So your musical rise is an extremely interesting, almost, I hate to say case study, but that was the word that came to mind. But it's more important and interesting how you've actually navigated it and responded to it. In 2016, you made your auspicious debut with Day by Day. Put you on the global map and getting picked up by all the hot musical agents in the UK. And then followed that up with My East is Your West in 2018. But what's so fascinating about this project, More Arriving, is from what I've read, it seems like you've kind of lost control of the narrative of your own identity, reclaiming it. An acknowledgement and then exactly a reclamation, a reclaiming.
Yeah, I think for a long time, like once you start making music, you realize how much of the music that you make gets talked about the way you want to or the way people want to see your music as being perceived, basically. And I think the longer you're in this business, you realize that the best way to kind of handle all this is to basically shape your own narrative as much as possible.
So just in a quick summary and synopsis so people aren't familiar, just take us through that journey and how and what happened.
There's questions like, you know, like how does the music get categorized? Is it jazz? Is it Indian music? Is it Indian classical music? What are the influences in it? I mean, is it jazz enough because I'm a brown dude playing jazz? Is it jazz? All these questions get thrown up, and when, especially when we're doing gigs, often you'd see like tour posters of like me under like a banyan tree or on a carpet or something, and like I was never subscribing to that worldview of who I am, but that's what gets a very sort of lazy depiction of what I am. I think there's very little understanding of what like contemporary Indian music can sound like. For example, like the biggest kind of independent music in India right now is hip hop, but how many people think of Indian music and think about hip hop? Right? I don't think anyone does, at least from the outside. So it's that kind of understanding of what like modern Indian music can sound like, and that's what I keep talking about. I keep talking about more arriving as a like a modern brown record. And then I kind of talk about the politics behind the music, and I talk about what the influences that music what influences my music, but I never really talk about what genre it is, because I mean, I don't know what genre it is really, and that's not really my job. My job is to make music.
The unfortunate experiences that you've had about being felt reduced to a monolith in the UK jazz touring circuit and people imposing words like spiritual jazz,
right.
Which was the sort of the joke I made at the top
yeah.
of the show.
Yeah.
And kind of like...
Yeah, that's quite funny. I think like it's an interesting one. I haven't heard that before, like agnostic jazz. But I mean, if agnostic comes as a reaction to spiritual... it's an interesting idea, you know, because like I've never talked about my own music as being spiritual in some way, but that's the first tag that you get when you start playing jazz as an Indian is spiritual jazz, you know. And I'm not saying that I don't subscribe to ideas of spirituality, but like I almost stay away from them because I know that as soon as I start saying the word spiritual, it's going to just kind of completely go out of control.
Well, not only that, but you also bring in the picture that almost that subgenre itself, spiritual jazz, almost has like racist connotations.
Well, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's a complicated subject. And I think like my second album, My East Is Your West, kind of dealt with that idea of sort of like exoticizing the East and treating the East, quote unquote, the East as a repository of knowledge, where you could just dip in and out, learn a couple of scales, go there and, you know, learn a couple of grooves and then go about your business as usual. And without really understanding that there's a whole tradition of music that's associated with a lot of this kind of these scales that you're learning or whatever. And I think like everyone is kind of guilty of that to an extent. Like all my favorite like spiritual jazz heroes like Alice Coltrane and Joe Henderson and Don Cherry and Pharoah Sanders, all these people, like I love them, but also like I find their music kind of deeply problematic in some ways.
Yeah, it's sort of like how I assume it would be an interesting comparison is sort of, you know, how Brazilians think listening to Stan Getz and João Gilberto
right.
with those commercial
right.
recordings.
Yeah.
And that's their vision of what bossa nova is.
I mean,
which
if everybody in the US thinks that's what bossa nova is, then that's
which
problematic,
isn't
it?
Which is not bossa nova.
Sure. Yeah, it's the same thing, basically. I think, like, that's what representation is always about, like, whether it's in music or anything else. It's about if there's enough people making bossa nova... And then you put a record out with Stan Getz doing bossa nova, that's fine. Because then people have enough sort of frames of reference. But if that's your only frame of reference, then it's problematic. And that's the same thing with Indian music.
It's an effort to extend and celebrate the plurality of Indian music. North, south, east, west. I mean, India is a massive country. And how many languages are spoken there? Like hundreds, right?
Well, I mean, there's lots of dialects. I mean, there's probably about... 28-30 languages and then
right exactly
yeah.
So but you do such a great job of offering the message of plurality from Moore arriving and the different rappers, the different visions that they present on the record, and I'd like you just to give us that journey right now.
For example, on the track Coolie, there's a person called Delhi Sultanate who's
yes.
on the record, who kind of raps in a Jamaican kind of patois accent because he's grown up in Jamaica, but he's Indian, Coolie. It's about the kind of trade of indentured laborers from India to Jamaica who went to work on like sugar plantations and actually carried the first like cannabis seeds from India to Jamaica. And the whole idea is about diasporic communities based in the Caribbean who are also subscribed to some version of being South Asian, you know. And again, it all plays into this idea that there is no like one South Asian voice. And there are all these like different communities of people who are very different, but also maybe share a certain kind of similarity somewhere.
All right. What's the next song you're going to share
with us? Next
song
is, funnily enough, is Coolie. So we're going to play that. Yeah.
Well, all right, let's hear it. Thank you. Cooley. That's right, give it up. Cooley, Thrati Korwar and his band in our studio, featured here at the Bowers & Wilkins Sound Lounge in New York City for Winter Jazz Fest here on the Checkout from WBGO. Go to checkoutjazz.org and watch this video right here. And if you can't, well, those that you can't see, you guys are all wearing jerseys. And so there must be a story behind that.
Well, I just made these jerseys because I love them. And shout out to Lefto, who originally made these jerseys. I don't know who originally made them, but I saw them by a guy called Lefto. And they say fly immigrants instead of fly Emirates. And they're football kits because I love football, soccer, whatever. And so we all wear them because, yeah, we feel like a team. That's it. And it says more arriving, fly immigrants. That's what we like.
The last tune we just heard was called Cooley from your new recording, More Arriving. The first section of that song, it has, you know, all of that space.
Mm. Well, for me, the song is based around the riff, and the melody is based around these, like, this idea of wedding bands in India. There are a lot of, like, brass bands in India playing for weddings. And I always loved that sound growing up. And the riff, the melody that's on the song is kind of something that I imagine them to be playing. So it's like, it's in a way, it's this kind of like New Orleans meets Punjabi kind of swing type.
That's
vibe.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where my, you know, I think the first time I heard horns in a way was in wedding bands, you know, in India. And so that's my kind of reference, initial reference anyway.
And for those that don't know, you are like classically trained in the tabla tradition. I love how you just put those away behind the curtain. You're like, nah, we're not going to be playing those today.
I feel like, I mean, I do play them quite often. It's just they're not the easiest instrument to carry around with you. And
they get out of tune real fast,
that's
too.
That's true. That's right as well. But, you know, I feel like this project, I want to be heard on drums more than anything else. And so, yeah, that's why no tabla on this one. But I mean, I love playing tabla. And yeah, like you say, I'm classically trained. And yeah, it's kind of the first instrument that I learned to play. And then I moved on to the drum kit. So, yeah.
I just want to give a quick shout out to this amazing band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pawan Benjamin on the saxophone. Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Al McSween on the keys. And Zia Ahmed is joining us again.
Brub, brub.
To spit some rhymes, maybe not so rhymes. What are you about to perform for us?
We're gonna do a song called Bowl, which is also on the record, More Arriving, and you'll figure it out. You'll see what it's about once we start playing it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
running. Running like thoughts, running from thoughts. Rattling from the constant battling. Broken pieces, floating tokens. Token gestures, token jester. Open sesame, Alibaba, 40 thieves, 40 grievances, nothing to pledge allegiance with. Trapped in a box, ballerina chopped off, in place of Bhangra man. Dance monkey dance, to the music, to the snake charmer. I am karma, I am Kama Sutra. I am Nitha Hone Hone Hoye Mutteya, the Monday at the Bajke the Heat. Gap year, you said you were lost. I hope you found yourself. I'm Slumdog Millionaire, downward dog, eight-headed god. I'm Shiva, Al Qaeda. I am auditioning for the role of Terrorist One. Yeah, I can do that in an Arabic accent. I am Ganges, I am Gandhi, I am Jinnah. I am five pillars, I am sinner, I am cinnamon, I am cardamom, I am not invited to the Houses of Parliament. I am Sharif, don't like it, rock the Kasbah, stop the fatwa. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. I am England, I am Englandshire made in Bangladesh. I am Brick Lane, I'm Curry House of the year 2005. I'm Rogan Josh. I'm so damn lost. I'm so damn lost. I'm so damn lost. Looking for a shape that's whole. Looking for a place that's whole. Looking for a shape that's whole. Looking for a place that's whole. Looking for a shape that's whole. Looking for a place that's whole. Looking for a shape that's whole. Looking for a place that's home. Mera juta hai jabani. Home is where your heart is. Ye patloon Inglistani. Home is where your heart lifts. Sar pe laal topi rusi. Nah, home is where your ass fits. Phir bhi dil hai. 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 Phir bhi dil hai.
Give it up. Sarati Korwar. You know how Thelonious Monk used to get up in the middle of his solos and just start dancing?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel right now.
Oh, you should do it. You should do it.
Man, you can also hear the blues from West Africa in that composition,
right,
too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of based on a Qawwali idea. So, you know, it's Qawwali music, it's like Sufi music. It's communal music. It's practiced together in a large bunch of people, group of people. I mean, there's lots of parallels across the world with, you know, ritual music, religious music. I love Qawwali. It's very closely related to Indian classical music in many ways. So I kind of came through that angle from playing tabla, from my access to Indian classical music into Qawwali, and then kind of translating that into a more sort of jazz sound, really.
Very cool. And so what is that composition, Bol, about?
The chorus is called, is Bol Kela Bazade Tere, Bol Zabab Tak Teri Hai. So it means speak because you're still free to speak. So it's kind of also a critique on like democracy and the fact that if you still have one, you got to speak and make sure that you're heard so that you can save it.
I understand your album art actually comes from a protest movement from the 70s and 80s that, you know, maybe some of you might be familiar with, because I think it was showcased in that new film, Blinded by the Light, too. That was the same.
Right. I haven't seen that film. But, I mean, it's not really based on any one specific protest movement, but it's looking at lots of, like, South Asian protests in the UK, but also, like, what's happening in India right now with a lot of kind of protests abroad, centered around student movements and pro-democracy, like anti-fascist protests that are happening. So it's kind of singularly this idea of people coming together and kind of, although we're also highlighting people's differences and the idea that there is no one singular brown voice, there is this idea of community maybe that can bind everyone together. Also the idea of the name of the album, More Arriving, is, you know, it's playing on that negative rhetoric of When someone says more arriving, it's automatically kind of considered to be a negative phrase, because it's this idea of people coming to your land and diluting your culture or stealing your jobs. And that's the kind of rhetoric that you get to hear in the media today. And so in a way, I wanted to kind of portray a sea of people coming, you know, and that idea that it might not be such a scary thing after all. But to kind of play on that idea of more arriving. And that's what the album title is.
Very cool. Well, we're going to wrap things up here with the band, and we thank them so much for joining us, Sorati Korwar and his ensemble featuring Zia Ahmed on vocals, Pawan Benjamin on sax, Al McSween on keys, the leader and drummer. Sorati, thank you so much. What's the last song you're going to present for us?
The last song we're going to do is the last song in the album. It's called Pravasis. And again, it's kind of self-explanatory, but the last words on the album and on the song are more arriving. And so kind of that kind of felt like a good way to end the record. And
are you must not be familiar with what's going on in American politics these days either,
yeah,
right?
I have no idea what's happening. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. Best to stay kind of ignorant, I think. Anyway, this one's called Pravasis. And thanks for having us.
Hey, my pleasure.
Pravasi, expat, worker, guest, worker, guest, worker, worker, foreigner, worker, non-resident, worker, non-citizens, workers. Workers, visa, people, visas, workers, worker, a million more, homeless, visiting, residing, born, brought, arrived, acclimatizing, homesick, lovelorn, giddy, worker, workers, tailor, solderer, chauffeur, maid, oilman, nurse, typist, historian, shopkeeper, truck driver, watchman, gardener, secretary, pilot, smuggler, hooker, T-boy, mistress, temporary, people, illegal, people, ephemeral, people, gone, people, gone, deported, left, more arriving.
We just heard Pravasis performed by Sorati Korwar and his ensemble at our pop-up studio, the Bowers and Wilkins Sound Lounge at the 2020 Winter Jazz Fest at the Moxie Hotel in the East Village. recorded on January 11th, 2020. A huge shout out to everybody that was a part of building this pop-up studio. That goes to Bryce Rosenblum from Winter Jazz Fest, Connor Falvey, Josh Rowe, Will Sherd from Dayglo Ventures, Relics. The video wouldn't have been possible without them, and it looks fantastic. So we hope you will go to our website, check out jazz.org, and watch it. Would also like to give a shout out to Corey Goldberg on the music mix. And if you haven't subscribed to the Checkout already, do so. And make sure you follow us on social media at Checkout Jazz is our Twitter handle. You can find me on Instagram. And of course, we have a Facebook page. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.